This is Karen Lyle of SalesPort Talk, broadcasting internationally from San Francisco. SalesPort Talk partnered with Sports Byline in April 2019 and has been broadcasting ever since to 168 countries around the world. Maybe you listen to us live on the Sports Byline channel of iHeart or TuneIn Radio, or on Channel 2 of CRN Talk, or on Stitcher, Twitch, or SportsByline.com. Or you may be listening on your radio to one of our 200 affiliate satellite stations across the U.S., or maybe one of the 500 satellite radio stations of the Armed Forces Network around the world. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for listening. Some of you like to tune in after the show and binge on the past episodes of SalesPort Talk with Karen Lyle on iHeartRadio. It amazes me that iHeartRadio is now available across more than 250 platforms and on 2,000 devices, including smart speakers, digital audio dashes, tablets, wearables, smartphones, virtual assistants, TVs, and gaming consoles. SalesPort Talk will also give you quick access to our past shows. This is Karen Lyle with SalesPort Talk. With 1,000 miles of Pacific Ocean and much more inland, lake, delta, and river frontage, California is the capital of Christmas boat parade celebrating. The holiday tradition of lighting up your vessel with decorations and lights doesn't just span the decades, but is a 100-year tradition. Newport Beach is credited with having one of the oldest Christmas boat parades launched in the early 1900s. Here are a few of the Pacific Coast lighted boat parades. Antioch, Bridge Marina Yacht Club Lighted Boat Parade, Berkeley Lighted Yacht Parade, Bethel Island Lighted Boat Parade, Dana Point Harbor Boat Parade of Lights, Discovery Bay Parade of Lights, Marina West Yacht Club Oxbow Marina Lighted Boat Parade, Long Beach Parade of 1,000 Lights, Morro Bay Christmas Boat Parade, Newport Beach Christmas Boat Parade, Oakland Lighted Yacht Parade, Oceanside Parade of Lights Boat Parade, Lake Paris Lights on the Lake Boat Parade, Petaluma Holiday Lighted Boat Parade, Pittsburgh Yacht Club Lighted Boat Parade, Redondo Beach King Harbor, Capital City Yacht Club Lighted Boat Parade, San Diego Parade of Lights, San Francisco Fisherman's Wharf Lights and Sights Boat Parade, San Joaquin Boat Parade, San Mateo Holiday Lighted Boat Parade, San Rafael Lighted Boat Parade, Santa Barbara Parade of Lights, Sausalito Lighted Boat Parade and Fireworks, Stockton Delta Reflections Lighted Boat Parade, South Beach Yacht Club Lighted Boat Parade, Suisun City Lighted Boat Parade, Vallejo Lighted Boat Parade. Whatever your passion, you don't want to miss this special time of year in California when boats are extra lively and bright.
Thank you for that, and that music means it's time to check in with Karen Lyle, who co-hosts this segment with me every Tuesday at 9:40 a.m. on the Pacific Coast from SalesportTalk.com. Karen, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you, Rick, and it's always a pleasure to co-host with you, especially here the week before Christmas.
Yes, and today I know you want to talk about a look back on all the shows we've done this year, huh?
Well, it's been quite a full year, you know. It seems that we had America's Cup, and we interviewed Terry Hutchinson and several other members of that team, and had Christopher Kane on the show as co-host, and that was quite some rousing discussions.
Whatever happened to that guy?
Well, he's still around. We'll just have to invite him back.
Okay. Well, for me, like you said, we've had a lot of interesting guests, but for me, it kind of begins and ends with Sir Robin Knox Johnston, who we've had on several times. But that guy, when you look at the history of sailing as a solo guy and just what he's meant through not just if you're a Briton, but just as a sailing enthusiast, he is a man's man, and he's always very much impressed me. And this is why he is a knight of the realm.
Well, and I really had a good opportunity to get to know him when we were both stuck at home. Usually, he's out and about, just so busy that it's hard to catch a word. But we had many conversations, and one of the things that I am so impressed about him is in the way he encourages others. And with that Clip Around the World race, he's always helping others to learn new skills and to get out there and be on the ocean as he was, with, of course, an amazing team of captains who help with that. So they're going to be starting up that race again and continuing in 2023 with a new one.
The other person I think that really stands out is Walt Ranieri, who we've had in studio. He's a blind sailor, and at first it was hard to believe that, because I'm always just in awe when I ride, you know, public transit like BART, and I see people who are completely blind taking BART, and it's just, I don't know how they do it. They're so brave. But to get out on the open seas where your cane, you know, can't tap against anything, that was really something.
Well, and Walt's a San Francisco resident when he's not competing in other parts of the world, and also very involved with the Bay Area Disabled Sailors. And one of the things that I had a delight to talk to Walt about was the adaptive sailing instruction that was at the South Beach Yacht Club this last, I think it was July, early August. And he was teaching teachers on the boat there that belongs to BADS about how to work with someone who's blind. And he was actually giving the instructions to the crew and taking the boat out and sailing it. So he's one of those that can work with those who are both disabled and those who are able-bodied in helping to bring together people and have a more inclusive experience, which I really appreciate.
I remember also we had Terry Hutchinson on from the America's Cup, and I was just last 10 days in Manhattan, and I was on West 44th and one block away from the New York Yacht Club, and I love that building because the way that the architecture juts out, it looks like the bow of an old-time galleon where the crew would live. I mean, it's just such an impressive building, and they would never let the likes of me inside that place.
Oh, you never know. We might have you be a guest there. I don't think they would be adverse to that.
But what a building. I mean, I actually went online and looked what it looked like inside. I mean, it's just absolutely, there can't be anything like that in North America that's better than that.
Well, you know, New York Yacht Club has really been instrumental in forming some of the maritime relations. There's a flag called the Yachtsman's Flag, which has the fouled anchor as part of its image on the flag, and that actually came about, as my understanding, from the relationship between the people in the New York Yacht Club and those of the Border Patrol going over the border and back, and wanting to have a way in which that they would not be fined if they're just coming home. And so that flag came about, and it's really used all over the world now. So it's New York Yacht Club not only has won 132 America's Cups, but they've been influential in a lot of our relations.
You know, when I think about, because I saw outside there flying, I don't know if you would call it their ensign or their pennant, but it's a blue flag with a red cross and a white star in the middle. Are you someone who can look at that and spot which yacht club a certain vessel is from?
Yes, and there are books that are published by the local reciprocal organizations in an area that have all the yacht club burgees in them with the names of the burgees below. And so oftentimes when you're becoming acquainted, I mean, after a while you know what they look like, but when you're becoming acquainted with them, you might be on your boat or looking at something and you pull out that book and you say, ah, okay. And then you know who's from that club. And if they come to your guest dock, then you have a whole bunch of boats with that same flag and you know who they are.
Couple more questions with Karen Lyle here. Another guest that we had, and I liked it just because he had the great name of Hernando Torres Fernandez, who was the Consul General of the country of Peru. That was interesting.
Yes, and I first met Hernando when the tall ship, the BAP Union, which is the largest tall ship in the world, I believe now 79 feet, I believe, it came to San Francisco in April of 2019, and they had their captain came to speak, Captain Kurt Boettger came to speak at Sailsport Talk, and later became a rear admiral down in Peru. He's a rear admiral in the Peruvian Navy now. And Hernando was on board, and that's where I was introduced to him originally. But we've become great friends. He's actually been sailing on my boat. And we had the, with his wife, Adriana, and we had the Building Bridges Special Postal Cancellation in February of 2021 at Treasure Island Museum during the lockdown phase of the pandemic when only 15 people could actually be on the property there, building one. We had a drone and we had 50 boats that were sailing around the island with Pacific Inner Club Yachting Association. And Patty Mangan helped arrange that and come up with the idea for all those boats sailing around. We're going to do that again, by the way, this February.
You know, it's funny. I just looked it up when you said Peruvian Navy. Seven frigates, no aircraft carriers, no battleships, but six submarines. And I bet you the United States gave them the subs. What do you think?
Well, that I don't know, but I have to ask.
Did we give you our old, do you have the Pampanino? No, anyway. How about this was a recent guest speaking at Treasure Island, the Sailing Science Center. We had James Hancock, and that was something that, you know, we don't really think a lot about. I think a lot of times with physics, we sort of feel like, you know, the term, the even keel and ballast and all the things that it takes. But still, it's fascinating when you take a vessel that weighs several tons of steel and it becomes seaworthy.
I am so excited about science, and it's really interesting to know how things work, you know, and why they work, and I love this idea of the Sailing Science Center being built there on Treasure Island. I guess they have a trailer that has models in it now while they're raising money for it, but it really is fascinating. So just not only to be on a ship, but know why things are balanced the way that they are.
How about Maggie Shea, an Olympian? That was cool.
Yes, well, and actually, Maggie Shea, I met her because I was sitting at a brunch at the Golden Gate Yacht Club, and her cousin was talking about her niece who was in the Olympic team, and so she put me in touch with Maggie, and we had that great conversation when she came onto our show and talked about the U.S. Sailing Olympic team. You know, I really think we need a lot of support for our Olympic sailors, and would love to see more support around the Olympics and representing our folks when they compete.
And then something that's always fond for me, Fond Day, the Vendée Globe. We talked to Pip O'Hare, and I think I told you I was on the horn with Bruce Schwab almost 20 years ago. We did satellite phone. He was from Marin. He's one of the first Americans to ever compete in that. The Vendée Globe is one of the most grueling solar races there is.
Well, and I had several. I use these 3-minute spotlights. They use the advertising time in most throughout a sports byline, but I use them in front of the Sailsport Talk for little reports. And I was following the different sailors from the different parts of the Vendée Globe in their journey, and in those 3-minute spots during that race. Now, not everybody hears that because they don't go out to the American Forces Network. But when we had Pip O'Hare, it was really great to be able to talk to her in person. She has really presents herself well, not just as a sailor, but in being able to describe the experience, especially of having to fix parts on her boat right there underway all by herself.
And then finally, as I think about what we've done in the last year, Taylor Canfield and Ian Williams, they were down there in Bermuda for that Gold Cup.
Right. It was one of the first, you know, that we're seeing back when they were trying to come up with the pandemic restrictions that would make it possible to race. And I just find it so, I found it so amusing that the there was a video that Ian shared with us about where he got a penalty from hitting the stern of the boat that Taylor had. And when he presented that, he didn't quite tell the whole story about the right of way and what was going on. It just kind of was implying a little bit things to be one way. But, you know, it's really interesting to see the rivalry, but friendly rivalry between these two sailors who keep encountering them, each other on these different races, because they certainly like each other, but they're out there to compete and win for sure.
It's Karen Lyle from SailSportTalk.com. Make sure to check it out for more information. And Karen, congratulations on another year of interesting and intriguing guests.
Well, it's certainly a pleasure to co-host with you, Rick, and always a pleasure to be part of Sports Byline. What a great network.
Happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays to you, too.
All right. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break. Come on back on Sports Byline.